Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Evan Horowitz. Tonight marks the fifth night of Hanukkah, which is traditionally a pretty lighthearted holiday, think dreidels and latkes, but which has taken on a different feel this year in the wake of the shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh late in October. It was the deadliest attack on Jewish Americans in U.S. history, with 11 people killed, and it also seems to be part of a pattern of rising anti-Semitic incidents across the country. Joining me now to talk about this Hanukkah, in the shadow of that shooting, is Rabbi Daniel Klein, who's both the rabbi of the Boston Synagogue and an associate dean for the Rabbinical School of Hebrew College in Newton. Rabbi Klein, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So we'll get back to these tragic subjects in a moment, but let's talk first about Hanukkah, about the story behind Hanukkah, because in a way, it's an apt story about discrimination and resistance.
Yeah, it's a story that's very resonant for, I think, in particular, Jews in America today, because it's about a story of Jewish oppression, but in particular, Jews who had been essentially integrated, assimilated to a certain degree into Greek culture. And then, for reasons we don't quite know historically, they were oppressed by the Greeks who were in power. So and then, of course, there was a revolt, and the Jewish minority overthrew the Greek ruling power in Jerusalem at that time. And we've come to celebrate it in various ways, but that idea of being a minority in a majority culture and being integrated into it and then having that taken away, being demonized and othered and oppressed is, of course, you know, it's been a deep-seated fear for Jews for a long time and really represents a fear that is, I think, not so real for Jews in America, but is always
or hasn't there. Been recently hasn't been
right.
As real for Jews, but always, as you say, like going back to this Hanukkah story, this long-standing right. tension of belonging yeah. and not belonging and where you fit in this spectrum and when it's time to assert your identity or when it's time not to.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
this Hanukkah, this first Hanukkah since the Tree of Life shooting, you know, what are you are you thinking about it differently? Does it feel different to you personally? First, start with you personally.
Yeah. It feels more important than ever, actually, to be celebrating Hanukkah. Because the story of Hanukkah, I think, is a lot about how you respond to being demonized and others and oppressed. So there's a practice that you light candles, and you light them in public. I mean, you do it at home, but you light them in the window of your house and the doorway to publicize Hanukkah. And it's really about living from the center of your values, like living in a world where your light, the light of your values, you display publicly. And I think what's been really gratifying in the aftermath, in particular, of the Pittsburgh shooting and in these last couple of years with the rise of anti-Semitism, is that the reaction of the Jewish community and so many supporters has been to actually double down on the values of love and compassion and responsibility for each other, which is what Hanukkah is about and is what the rituals is asking us to respond with.
And you're seeing that, you're feeling that in your congregation, your community,
yeah.
people doing more outreach or thinking more deeply about the meaning of the holiday?
Well, those ideas that Hanukkah is about for sure have been very much on the minds of Jews since Pittsburgh and since the last couple of years. And that's what we saw after the shooting in Pittsburgh, why there was so many Jews that came to synagogue and allies of the Jewish community came to support us. And I think those themes then have continued in Hanukkah, and those conversations have been continued in Hanukkah.
Yeah. Joe, just to put some numbers to it, in 2017, the Anti-Defamation League identified just under 2,000 reports of anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. That's a 57% increase over incidents in 2016. Just last week, there was a Jewish professor at Columbia University who found a swastika and a Jewish slur spray painted in her office. She's a scholar who studies the Holocaust. I mean, I think people are just starting to ask if this is a rising tide. You know, are these incidents adding up to something? Do you feel this pressure?
Yeah, very much so. I think the last couple of years in particular, the experience of being Jewish in America has been, you know, transformed from what many of us had experienced prior to that. Now, it's really important to me, and I think to many of us in the Jewish community, to note that we are still incredibly blessed and privileged to be in America and to be Jews in America. And there's lots of minorities who are far more in jeopardy and being demonized and targeted far more dramatically. And yet, for some reason, anti-Semitism keeps coming around, coming up, and emerging. And something like Hanukkah, I think, for me, reminds us how important it is to, not just for the sake of the Jewish community, but for all minorities, to really live the values that are at the center of Hanukkah that are in alignment with American values of responsibility, respect for difference, and really supporting a society and a world that allows for that.
Mm. So in some ways, it's hard to even talk about the idea of a Jewish community because we contain multitudes of Jewish people, right? There, I mean, across the spectrum from religiosity, people's very differing commitments to their Jewish identity. So I wonder if you've seen any shifting boundaries here. I mean, at least it would make sense to me if there's a kind of story where rising threats cause people to embrace their Jewish identity in a way, both because they start to feel themselves as targets, but also as a way to sort of take pride in response to that. Have you noticed a shifting of boundaries, either who's coming to synagogue or who's talking about themselves publicly as Jewish? Have you noticed anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the overall response that I have experienced, and this is anecdotal, but overall the response has been to take pride in being Jewish. I actually have a colleague who, in the aftermath of the Pittsburgh shooting, decided to convert to Judaism.
Really?
And colleagues and friends who have actually started to wear kippot, the head coverings, in public, as a way of saying, I'm not going to be deterred from living my life and living Jewishly and espousing these values in public because
it sounds like it's more than that. It's not just they won't be deterred, but there's a kind of defiance about it. I'm actually going to increase my level of sort of commitment to my Jewish identity or the public nature of my Jewish identity.
I think for many, I think it's also important to note that there's, particularly after Pittsburgh, a lot of conversations about security. Right. And that's also reflected in Hanukkah. There's actually
in communities, in temples and
All Jewish institutions. What do you do with your doors? Should they be unlocked? When they're unlocked, who should be there? All those conversations of how do we balance the commitment to live our values in public and the importance of that within the fabric of America and contributing in that way and also being safe and secure. And what does it mean to be safe and secure and how do we do that? And that's reflected in Hanukkah as well. There's actually a tradition that you light candles, as I was saying, publicly for people to see, but in a time of danger, you don't. You actually light them privately in your home.
I mean, there's this famous photograph. I mean, one of the producers of the show pointed out to me that I wasn't aware of it, but there's a famous photograph shot of a menorah on a windowsill, and it's shot from inside. So it's a black and white photograph, right? So you imagine it, like shot from the inside, out the window. What you see out the window is the local Nazi headquarters in this town where the photo is shot. So it's in Germany in the 30s, and it's a picture of the menorah in the foreground and, you know, the Nazi flag in the background. And it just speaks to this, like, what it means to be public about it.
Yeah.
And it's posted on our site for listeners who want to see it.
That's great. And, yeah, and, you know, I think we're really struggling with that question of how much do you close the doors and how much do you live publicly? And I think, actually, safety and security is far better served by living publicly, living these values of responsibility and caring for each other that is not unique to Jewish tradition, but is certainly part of our tradition and that is a way of supporting other communities who are also, you know, being demonized and leaning into the American value of creating space for all of us to contribute and be a part of this country and be ourselves.
Well, that's Rabbi Daniel Klein, who's both the rabbi of the Boston Synagogue and an associate dean for the Rabbinical School of Hebrew College. Rabbi Klein, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.